بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. The reward for expenses incurred for Hajj or Umrah travels. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those traveling to perform Hajj and Umrah are the guests of Allah. He grants them what they ask for, answers their supplications, and replaces what they had spent 1 to 1,000-fold.
Whatever a haji spends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns that 1,000-fold. So when we intend to go for Umrah or Hajj, we should never let this thought enter our minds that what will happen to my money? I have only 5,000 pounds and the Hajj is going to cost me 5,000 pounds. So when I return, I will be left with nothing. Or I have 3,000 pounds and after I perform Umrah, I will be left with 1,000 pounds only. Unless you have other obligations upon you, you should not worry about wealth decreasing when you are given the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something good for the akhirat. You are already in debt, 30,000-40,000 pounds, and you are performing Umrah and Hajj over and over again. That will not be right. Because you are unfair to those people who have borrowed you money, who have lent you money. Even in that scenario, if a person was to take permission from all those people who had lent him money, or if he feels 100% deep inside that they won't mind, then once in a while is okay. Or somebody's earning is less and he is hardly being able to look after his family and he wants to go for Umrah. That is a different matter. But if a person is able to support everybody around him, if a person has no obligations upon him and he saves 3,000 pounds and goes for Umrah, goes for Hajj, or he spends whatever he has in the path of Allah, erecting masjid, helping in madaris, helping students study, or spending on the poor and the needy and the widow, then a person should not think that my wealth will decrease. Because inshallah, as a result of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any cause that is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant immense reward in the hereafter and also grant barakah in this world. Tabi'u bainal hajj wal umrati. Continually perform hajj and umrah. Fainnahuma yanfiyanil faqra. Because they remove poverty. So the ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to carry out, one ibadat is verbal. At-tahiyyatu lillah. The other ibadat is physical. Was-salawatu lillah. And the third ibadat is monetary. Wat-tayyibatu lillah. Sometimes a person engages much in the verbal ibadat and the physical ibadat. And he feels content and he does not realize that I am not engaging in the monetary ibadat as much as I should, according to what Allah has granted me. So one should pay attention to that aspect as well. A person has to have moderation and he should make sure that he is balancing all the three types of ibadat according to his resources. once I went for Hajj and I tried to work out a very, very cheap package. And in those days, you did not have to go with a group. You were able to travel on your own. So, approximately 10 of us traveled. My older brother Hafiz Ahmed Ali was with me also. And I tried to work out a very, very cheap package. So we decided to go direct to Medina Munawwara. And we stayed in Medina Munawwara for 8 days. And from there we went straight to Makkah Mukarrama, and from Makkah Mukarrama straight to Mina, without having to look for accommodation in Makkah Mukarrama. So during those days, the system was that if you go to Medina Munawwara, you are charged on a daily basis. So 8 days on a daily basis, 50 riyals, 100 riyals, 500 riyals. But when you go into Makkah Mukarrama, you are charged on a season basis. So whether you go 4 weeks before Hajj, 6 weeks before Hajj, or 6 days before Hajj, or 2 days before Hajj, or 1 day before Hajj, you have to pay 1,000 riyal, 1,500 riyals, whatever. But after Hajj, you pay on a daily basis in Makkah Mukarrama also. But everybody reaches Makkah Mukarrama before Hajj. So everybody pays that lump sum. So it occurred to me that if we go direct to Medina Munawwara, from Medina Munawwara, if we go to Makkah Mukarrama just a day before we go to Mina in the evening, so we reached around Zohar Asr, and healthy and young. So we spent the night here and there, Haram Sharif, friends, whatever, and we went to Mina the following morning. So in those days, the Hajj used to turn out to approximately 2,000 pounds per person. And we performed Hajj by spending only 1,100 pounds. See, it was something new. So those people who were acquainted to me were talking about it. So in Mina, after Arafat and Muzdalifah, when I went to meet my Shaykh of Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, while smiling, he started asking me that everybody is talking about you, that you have performed a very cheap Hajj. So how did you manage to do that? So I explained to him. So he became very happy. And we always learn something from our akabir and our mashayikh and our elders if we go to them with the intention of learning from them. Because if we go with the intention of benefiting from them, we will pay attention to what they are doing, what they are saying. So afterwards he said to me that, Salim, if you had only so much means, you had only 1,100 pounds, then what you did was correct. Because if you had not done what you did, you would not have been able to perform Hajj. But if you had 2,000 pounds, and in order to save money you have done this, then it was incorrect. Because you must remember that Hajj is not only physical ibadat, it is monetary ibadat also. So despite me being able to perform a Hajj, which would cost me only 1,100 pounds, Hadrat Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was telling me that if you had the means, you should not have performed Hajj in this manner. You should have spent a little bit more as well, so you would have acquired more reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma naqasat sadaqatum min mal. Sadaqah. This is also a form of sadaqah. Spending on masjid is sadaqah. Spending on your travel towards Haram and Sharifan is sadaqah. Spending upon your relatives is sadaqah. Sadaqah never decreases the wealth. So let us resolve today that inshallah we will pay attention to all the three types of ibadat. The verbal ibadat. Verbal ibadat is also physical ibadat. Because it is to do with your tongue. But the ibadat we are able to carry out with the tongue is more easier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it a special place. What all the limbs together can carry out, the tongue will be able to carry out on its own. In order for you to carry out sajda, you will have to prepare yourself, find a place. In order to perform two rakat with the whole body, you will have to perform wuzu, find a place, find time. The tongue, whilst you are driving, you can engage with the ibadat of the tongue. Whilst you are lying down before sleeping, you can engage with the ibadat of the tongue. When you wake up during the night, you can engage with the ibadat of the tongue. When you wake up early in the morning, then you can engage whilst you are lying down, and after getting out of your bed until you go to the bathroom, you can engage in ibadat of the tongue. So, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. Your tongue should remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah, in tasbihat of Allah, in talking about Allah, in talking about the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the body should remain in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One needs to control his gazes, because gazes, when you control your gaze, that is the ibadat of the eyes. When you control your ears, that is the ibadat of the ears. When you control your tongue, that is the ibadat of the tongue. And when you hear something good, that is the ibadat of the ears. When you look at something good, you are looking at Kaaba. You are looking at nature and appreciating the wonder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Appreciating the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is also ibadat. And the third ibadat is monetary. Take out zakat, and after taking out zakat, take out a percentage and spend on the poor, spend on the needy, spend on ilm, spend on the ulama, spend on the talaba, spend on the orphans, spend on those people who are afflicted. Spend on the needy. And also, spend on yourself carrying out something that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Umrah, Hajj, going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And one should always remember that anything spent for the pleasure of Allah, whether on oneself, I have to buy medicine, it's expensive, but I have to buy medicine because experts have said that it is necessary for me. So I am buying medicine. I am in a country where medicine is not free. I am buying medicine to maintain the health, because it is the command of Allah. A person will acquire reward. This is monetary ibadat. One feeds himself, feeds his family. Again, Allah will reward. A person spends on his own umrah, on his own hajj, a person will be rewarded. But a person needs to be moderate. He needs to balance everything. If a person only saves and performs umrah, and doesn't worry about the poor people, so if he is able to save £2,000 in 2020 and perform umrah, then 2021 he should save £2,000 and spend it on dini causes, poor people. If there is more need to spend on the poor people, there is more need, more people are afflicted, then 2 years on poor people and 1 year umrah. So we have to balance all this. And as I said earlier, whenever we will spend on something with the intention of carrying out the command of Allah and acquiring His pleasure, then we will benefit through that spending, not only in the hereafter, but in this world also. And we should also learn not to spend in those avenues which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Buying clothes for show. I already have a nice jacket, a nice coat, but I want to buy another one. Why? Because this one is in fashion and I want to make sure that everybody, when they see me. Or I can buy a jacket which I need for £50 and unnecessarily I am spending £90. So for show or extravagance, spending money without the need, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become unhappy. Similarly, spending money in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if a person purchases a mobile and then he goes into contract with a mobile company and he gives extra money to get extra facilities with the intention of using those facilities in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very dangerous. I will be able to watch this, I will be able to do this, I will be able to do that. So, wealth is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as ilm is a great gift. What a mufti will be able to do, a non-mufti will not be able to do. Despite 1,000 people coming to a non-mufti to ask for guidance, what can a non-mufti do? He will have to refer them to the mufti. So what a mufti is able to do, a non-mufti will not be able to do. And what a person of ilm, alim will be able to do, a non-alim will not be able to do. So similarly, what a wealthy people is able to do, a non-wealthy people will not be able to do. So just as ilm is a gift and bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wealth is also a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Wealth is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah grants this fadl to whomsoever He wishes. It's a very long hadith. And if we mention this hadith, it will be beneficial for all of us. The poor sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala li majmeen, who were not well to do, the muhajirin, the du'afa, they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said that our wealthy brothers, our wealthy companions, our wealthy brothers have gone away with lot of reward. Zahab ahlud dusur bil ujur wad darajatil ula, and high statuses. Why? Because as far as the verbal ibadat is concerned, we are equal. We have equal opportunity. Physical ibadat, equal opportunity. But when it comes to monetary ibadat, they surpass us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I not teach you something which if you begin to practice, then you and they will become equal? Said, why not, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after every salat, say 33 times, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And my brothers, my sisters, please pay attention. Subhanallah, we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with lot of love, lot of enjoyment, lot of interest, with lot of respect and adab, we should read Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Not Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. Majority of the people are reading and completing the azkar in this manner. And this then goes into salat also. And our salat becomes unworthy of being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. And if you are able to concentrate, if you are able to concentrate that I am declaring, I am declaring this tenet of faith that my Allah is pure from every fault, even more better. Subhanallah, subhanallah, my Allah is pure from every fault. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah. I am praising Allah for all the favors He has granted me. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Your reward and the reward of those people who will earn wealth through halal resources and thereafter spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the same. Imagine the effort of the two parties. One party is toiling hard, investing money, investing resources and acquiring wealth, thereafter looking for correct avenues and spending money. And here after every salat 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allah. But you will become equal. So the poor Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain began reciting this. The wealthy Sahaba saw the poor Sahaba doing something after every salat. So they inquired. They were greedy for ilm and they were not stingy in passing on ilm. So the poor Sahaba said that we went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us. So they were greedy for reward. They began reciting also. So the poor Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala was being thought back to square one. So they went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. This advantage is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as a mufti has advantage, an alim has an advantage, a hafiz has an advantage because he will be able to recite more than an hafiz, wealth is also an advantage. And Allah grants it to whomsoever He wishes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant us wealth only to enjoy this worldly life. Allah grants us wealth so that we are able to acquire the pleasure and the nearness of Allah by spending it in noble causes. And we should adopt this habit right from now. Take out a percentage of your money. 1% I will spend in the path of Allah. 2% I will spend in the path of Allah. 3% I will spend in the path of Allah. So if £1 comes in my possession, 3 pence will go in the path of Allah. So that is definite. And on top of that, whenever a need arises, and I hear that somebody is in need of assistance, I will check my pocket, I will check my bank account and see if I am able to take part in this, in fulfilling this need also. Sadaqah will bring so much barakah. It will make you wealthy in this world, it will make your heart wealthy, and the greatest benefit is inna sadaqata latudfi'u ghadab ar-rabb. It extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa tadfa'u mitat as-su. And it repels, it moves away a bad death. So it guarantees husn-e khatima also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.